Sam is giving me flashbacks to the Super Bowl last year. What should have happened at the end there? Oh, that's what should have happened. Anyways, let us all stand and turn in our bulletins and affirm our faith in the words of the Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated.
I love trees. I love trees. I seriously do. I even joke that I love trees so much that I married one. If you didn't know, my wife's name is Triana, and I call her Tree for short, and so I married a tree. Of course, the trees that I really love the most outside of my wife are those big, majestic oaks and maples and ashes. You know, those huge, ancient trees that look so climbable. Ones that, if you had the guts to get up there, you could walk way out on a branch. You know, they're so beautiful, so majestic. And growing up, I always wanted a treehouse. I always wanted a treehouse. They always look so good on the cartoons and the TV shows. But unfortunately for me, I was cheated of this growing up in Calgary, where the prairies meet the Rocky Mountains way up in the northwest. There are none of those big, beautiful trees up there, just a bunch of wimpy spruce and aspen and poplar. They're all kind of soft trees that you can't really climb or make a treehouse in. They're okay, but you can't climb in them. So I was happy when I arrived in Durham in 2013 to discover that North Carolina is basically one giant forest full of these ancient trees. And to me, those oak trees I'm on Duke campus all the time. Those oak trees on Duke campus, man, they're just as majestic, if not more so, than the chapel itself. Those are some beautiful trees. But I think many of you will agree that there is practically nothing that compares to the beauty of the forest in the Great Smoky Mountains, in the peak of autumn, right? The various shades of crimson and gold with the evergreen of the pines rolling across the mountainous landscape. At that time of year, it is nearly impossible to capture with words the beauty of those trees. Every color that a tree can be is right there, truly one of God's masterpieces. It's like tree heaven for me. The changing leaves on a tree, they're not only one of the more beautiful sights in nature, but also one of the more reliable ones. What I mean is, a healthy living tree will always show you what season it is. It will never lie. If you see a tree covered in green leaves, it's summer. If it has no leaves, it's winter. If it's budding or has flowers, it's springtime. Amber and red leaves mean it's fall. Of course, there's exceptions to the rule, but you get the idea. A tree that normally goes through this process isn't going to decide to start budding in the middle of fall and grow big, bright green leaves in December. And likewise, a healthy tree is it going to lose all its leaves in the middle of July? What I'm trying to say is, if you want to know what season it is, just look at the trees. Look at a tree. The reliability of a tree is probably the reason why Jesus uses it in his metaphor in our gospel reading today. In the midst of a rather anxiety-inducing passage today, Jesus encourages his followers to pay very close attention to the signs that will be as reliable as a tree. He tells them, look at the fig trees and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. What a great metaphor, right? I mean, Jesus is telling his followers to look at what trees do. Now, unlike what I like to do, they aren't looking at trees to see if they're good for climbing or building tree houses in. Rather, it's for that other reason, because trees are such good indicators of the seasons. And maybe you noticed in Jesus' metaphor today what season he believes we're in. He tells them to look for the budding leaves because right now the tree is bare. It's been winter. It's been winter for a very long time. So long that a big tree full of green leaves might have completely passed out of memory. At this point, I'd like to kind of pause on this sermon to express a question that many of you might be thinking about with this passage today. Why on earth does the lectionary have us read this passage for the first Sunday of Advent? For the first Sunday of the entire church year? Why are we starting with this anxiety-inducing passage about the coming of the Son of Man on a cloud and distress among nations, people fainting, fearing, and foreboding, and heaven shaking, and a day that could come like a trap that needs to be escaped? I mean, shouldn't we be looking forward to Christmas now? To a nativity scene with a little baby Jesus in a manger? Rather than the Son of Man coming in on a cloud? Trust me, when I read the lectionary passage for today, I had those questions. But that's why I'm drawing our attention to this tree in the parable in the middle of the passage. Jesus talks about a bare tree because of what it says about the world around us and what it is signaling his followers towards. Ultimately, why would anyone look forward to the coming of summer if they don't first realize that they are in the harsh cold of winter? Why would anyone look forward to the coming of summer if they don't first realize that they're in the harsh cold of winter? How many of you are feeling the cold of winter today? I mean, metaphorically cold, right? Is anyone chilled by the events taking place across the globe right now? War, terror, hatred are filling news reports on TV screens, laptops, and newspapers. Syria is being destroyed by civil war, sending refugees flooding to any place of safety that will take them. Of course, in the previous weeks, there have been the attacks in Beirut, Paris, Baghdad, Nigeria, Mali, and now this weekend in Colorado Springs. Here in the U.S., we are still struggling with issues of hatred and racism. Economic inequality continues to grow. People are being imprisoned at incredible rates. And across all these issues, we are divided along party lines in a political system that tries to give us only two choices of what kind of American we can be. And these issues are felt by us in this congregation alongside our own personal struggles that we may be going through. Illness, unemployment, hurt relationships, and the stress of the daily grind, and so on. All of this, is the cold of winter. This is the bare tree. The kingdom of God feels so far away. And in the midst of this, it's hard to imagine what summer could possibly be like. Back home in Calgary, we have really long winters. If you didn't know where Calgary is, it's up above Montana, up there, up in Canada. Sometimes our winters are as long as 8 months, and they can get pretty tough. Not for everybody. Some people love it. I don't mind it some years. Some it's okay. But for different people living in Calgary, the winters can be hard for some different reasons. Some people have a tough time with the months of cold weather. It's the temperature. That's the tough part. For others, they can handle the cold. It's the endless driving on snowy, icy, or slushy roads. Even others have the hardest time with the less than 8 hours of day, the daylight in any day. It's mostly dark. But for me, the hardest thing about these long winters is the complete lack of green for months on end. Everything is just brown. The grass goes brown. There's no leaves on the trees. And the streets are all salted and sanded. So all the snow is constantly brown and dirty. Just life-sucking. The low point usually comes around January and February, because there hasn't been any green for months, and I know that spring is still months away. It's usually at that time of year, when summer is so far away, that it is literally hard to imagine what summer is like in that same place. If you're outside, it's just hard to remember what it's like. The cold blocks the memory of the warm sun on your shoulders and the green grass between your toes. I know factually that summer is warmer and greener and overall better, but it's so far away, and the winter is so real and so imminent that summer feels like some far-off fantasy. I think that same thing, I should note, in the last service, they said you shouldn't be so hard on your hometown. I'd like to say, I love my hometown. Calgary's great. The summers are awesome. That's all stuff. That same thing can happen in the midst of what's going on in the world and in our lives. It's so easy to be consumed by all the imminent fears of this life and the world around us. So much so that even though we know there has to be something better, even though Jesus promises the kingdom of God, it's just so hard to have any sort of imagination of what that really might be like. And when we are overwhelmed by what is happening around us and we lose sight of what the kingdom of God is, fear and worry can very easily take hold of who we are. And when fear and worry are given that free rein in us, we lose sight of needing the kingdom of God in the first place. What I'm saying is, inside that metaphor of winter, when the fear of catching a cold causes us to lock everyone out of our house that has central heating, we no longer need summer to come. We're warm in our house. We're scared of the cold, but at least we're warm. Who needs summer? Why would we need summer to come when we're safe and warm in our own houses? The reality is that fear and worry drive us away from the very places where the kingdom of God might be breaking through. This is why Jesus tells us, be on guard. Not from the winter, not from intruders. Rather, be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with the worries of this life. In the midst of what is happening in our world, our country, and our communities, Jesus commands his followers to not allow fear and worry to take a hold of us. But here's the good news. If it's tough for us to imagine what summer is like, what the kingdom of God is like, if it's been cold for so long that it's just hard to imagine, we don't have to make it up. We don't have to invent summer. We are shown exactly what it looks like in the person of Jesus. God comes to us in Jesus to show us what kind of God he is and what his kingdom looks like. He shows us that what that tree looks like when it begins to sprout leaves. So Jesus commands his followers to be on guard, to be alert. Look for the signs of summer, the sprouting leaves on the branches of the tree. But not just for our own sake. The idea is for us to watch very closely and see where and how the kingdom of God is breaking through so as to witness about this reality in a cold world desperately needing a changing season. In fact, Jesus encourages his followers saying, when these things begin to take place, stand up, raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. This year, the lectionary is guiding us through the book of Luke, like I mentioned earlier. And through this story, we will see what God's kingdom looks like in the person of Jesus Christ, in his whole life, his ministry, his teaching, his death and resurrection. We don't have to make up what the kingdom of God looks like. We don't have to do any guessing. Jesus is living it out right in front of us. God is living it out right in front of us. God enters into our cold winter as Jesus. And everywhere he goes, the bare trees begin to sprout new leaves. So as Jesus' followers, he calls us to bear witness to God's life and ministry in the person of Jesus. and to be patient and alert to the budding leaves of the kingdom of God, even if it sprouts to us in a refugee couple in the middle of a Middle Eastern town. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.